Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Welcome back into the whole show. Second and final hour of the day. Rolling on. Want to give a shout out to Cables Pub and Grill. That's where friends meet. That's where my friends meet. Locally owned and operated since 1972. Wonderful food there. I mean, they have great deals. You know about their all-you-can-eat spaghetti on Mondays, the $3 pints on Wednesdays, $7.99 personal pizza with up to three toppings on Wednesdays. So write that down. Plus, Rockies games. You know, I love watching the Rockies games. We were out there a couple of weeks ago watching one out in the patio. And, I mean, it's just so relaxing out there. I love that area in West Greeley. It's a great place to hang out. That's Cables Pub and Grill, doing something right for a very, very long time. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who should start tomorrow? Who will start tomorrow between the pipes for the Colorado Avalanche? Are we going to go with, going to stay with Darcy Kemper? Or are you going to go with Francois? Are you going to go with Frankie? Who's getting the start? Go vote at theholeshow.com. And again, that's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Frankie's getting 55% of the votes. Pretty close here, actually. So go vote. I want to see how this thing wraps up. I thought for sure Kemper was out. I thought last night, I said, man, he could be done barring an injury or a complete meltdown by Frankie. Maybe this is it for Darcy. Now it's 50-50. Frankie and Kemper going neck and neck. I thought Frankie might be getting a lot more of the votes than this at this point. So go vote at theholeshow.com. Let's see where you are. The sky's not falling. Jared Bednar's not a bad leader. None of that stuff. You're in the NHL Stanley Cup final. It's absolutely ridiculous that you're questioning this man's leadership at this point. Yes, he was in the pressure cooker in the second round. I'm the first to admit it. That would have been his third year in a row or fourth, Jades, of going to the second round and not getting out of it. I think it was his third. So, yeah, you start to put pressure on a guy and say, all right, it's the George Karl effect. But more. We have too good of a team to not be getting deeper in the playoffs. So I was there, sure, but he proved everybody right or whatever. He shut everybody up. And I never thought he was a bad coach. I just said, dude, yeah, he's on the pressure cooker. I don't know if that means he's going to get fired after the end of the year if he doesn't make the second round, get past the second round. But he'll certainly, it's going to be a question. And going into the next season, if they chose to stay with him, he would have been on the hot seat. But he got past it. Then he got past the Western Conference Finals with ease. And now here you are, up 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Final. And we got Mark Kisla in the Denver Post saying that he's not a great leader, essentially. Or that he didn't show great leadership in that moment by not burying Darcy Kemper. Or making it official who the starter was at that point. Why would you do that? First off, it's called gamesmanship. I'm not going to tip my hat at all. I'm not going to tell Tampa Bay who I'm starting between the pipes because you want to hear it for your articles. Again, full disclosure, I like the Denver Post. I'm a fan. I've read it for years. Read it my whole life, to be honest with you. A lot of my insiders have come from the Denver Post. I read Kisla's stuff. I'm not saying you shouldn't. He's controversial. Sometimes he's controversial when it needs to be. Other times he's controversial just because he's bored. And I think last night's headline was a boredom text or boredom headline. Something to write about. It's the Stanley Cup final, bro. You're mad because the Avs are not up 3-0? Trust me, I picked the Avs to win. I even tweeted about it. I said, dude, it's my own fault. I should have been stupid enough to think that the back-to-back Stanley Cup champs were going to lay down. They didn't. Lesson learned by me. I thought maybe when, especially the Avs score that first goal, then it gets overturned, Then they score the first goal, the real first goal, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, the Avs are feeling it here, bro. They have it here. They might go crazy. And then Tampa Bay just took over. It's a good team, dude. They're the best team in hockey until proven otherwise. That's how this goes. So Wednesday night's going to be fun. I don't know, Jades. I would not be shocked if Tampa Bay wins. And then we're talking about a colossal Game 5 in Denver. Dude, this is a blast. This is what you want. It ain't easy. You can't sweep them all. I know it felt like it at some point. I'll be curious to see how the Avs handle this. It does feel like they've only really faced adversity in the playoffs once this year. And it was really game after game two with the St. Louis situation. I mean, they lose one at home. So anytime you lose at home when you're the home ice team, you tend to go, that's a little scary. They handle that beautifully. So if that's any indication, then you got to feel confident that Jared Bednar's crew can bounce back. But again, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, ABC. Jades, we got to get to it today in the NFL. Are we ever going to be done with this Deshaun Watson thing? ESPN reported this morning that the Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has settled all but four of the lawsuits filed against him. Attorney Tony Busby said in a statement Tuesday. Now, since back in March of 2021, 25 lawsuits have been filed against Watson, alleging sexual assault and other inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Of those 25, one was dropped by the plaintiff when the judge ruled her petition had to be amended with her name. The other 20, Busby said, have been settled. So all but four right now. Busby says we're working through the paperwork related to those settlements. Once we've done so, those particular cases will be dismissed. The terms and amounts of the settlements are confidential. We won't comment further on the settlement or those cases. He noted that Ashley Solis, the first woman to file a lawsuit against Watson and the first to speak publicly and identify herself as a plaintiff, is not one of the 20 women to settle. Ashley Solis is one of the heroes of this story. Her case has not settled, and thus her story, and that of the other three brave women will continue. I look forward to trying these cases in due course, consistent with other docket obligations and the court's schedule, he said. Busby went on to mention. It's, does it make you feel any better? You go from 25 to 4? I mean, when this first started, one was bad, was awful. And you want to get to the bottom of that. And then you see 25. The number decrease, if that makes you feel any better, it shouldn't, because there's still, if this happened, he's a creep. He's a bad dude. Get him out of the NFL. And again, try to think about this logically, too. And again, I do believe innocent until proven guilty. But when you have, if you're going to get down to it and have settlements, then we're never really going to know exactly how it went down. Who was in the right? Was this a gigantic ruse to get money out of Deshaun Watson and ruin his name? Or was there levity to every single one of these women's accusations? I don't know. I mean, have you ever met Deshaun Watson, Jades? I've never met him. I couldn't tell you. We may never really know the full story. It's going to be like you have Jadeveon Clowney saying he's back with the Browns 100% because of Watson. Like, he's got his back, believes in him. You know, that's why you do want to be careful. I mean, I know the whole, I'm not comparing the two, but it just came to my mind, the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing. You can't just go straight to, oh, in this day and age, a woman screams out that a man has beat her. She must be right. That's dangerous, dude. We know that's dangerous, both sides. So you do want to be careful here and handle this thing delicately, because we can't get to the point where, oh, if we can round up, if we can just get a few people to come out and say that this is true and we could really make some money here, we could get some settlements. And I'm not saying that that's what's happened. That's why I'm just saying that this process needs to be, hopefully, given the thorough investigation and everything that it deserves. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, well, he probably did it. 25 is a big number, though. And it's hard for me to believe that of those 25 women, nothing leaks out that, oh, well, she was kind of that way. She did some of this. And she had this incident 5-10 years ago. You're not really hearing that kind of stuff. So that's what's interesting to me. Boy, what a deal here. Roger Goodell had said he thought the NFL was nearing the end of its investigation a while ago. He couldn't give a timeline for when a ruling might be made. I suppose they're waiting to see what's settled, but the NFL can still, even if there's settlements, they can still act as the judge, jury, and executioner and say, well, because you were involved, we're going to suspend you for a year. This is a tough situation. Because if you settle, he's not found guilty of anything. If these four women finally break down, then it's over. But if they continue to fight, then I don't see how Deshaun Watson plays next year. I mean, would you, if you're Roger Goodell, if you're the NFL, and all this stuff in the world going on with all these different movements, and again, I'm not saying it should be right that he plays at any time, but especially now, whew, I don't know that I'm wanting that kind of smoke, man. And if you're Cleveland, how dumb can you be? Why did you touch this situation? Even if you were done with Baker Mayfield, you don't want this, man. You've mortgaged your future for a guy that has maybe no future in the NFL. Broncos getting set to, well, they did. They announced their training camp days. That means it's real, Jay. That means it's almost here. When you get the dates, they're set to hold 14 open practices during training camp. They'll open to the fans. It opens up on July 27th. Starts up. Broncos will permit fans to attend 14 training camp practices, up from 12 workouts last year. NFL-wide training camp Back Together Saturday will be held July 30th and is a free ticketed event. Details will be announced at a later date on how to secure tickets. Practices are free and open to the public, and gates for morning workouts will open at 9 a.m. The parking lots will be open at 8 a.m. Spectators are encouraged to arrive early for limited parking spots. Don't bring lawn chairs or umbrellas. There's going to be food trucks there. All that sounds like a good time, Jade. But don't bring an umbrella. You know, they wouldn't let me bring sunscreen into Coors Field. I'm a very pasty dude, Jade. I got a double coat, triple coat, halfway through every three innings. You coat it up. Otherwise, you get tan or you get red. I don't tan very easily. You know, you went on vacation, and you come back with this beautiful tan. If that would have been me, I'd come back and look like a half-peeled lizard. You know, I'm still peeling from the sunburn that I faced.
Well, then don't look at my shoulders, Brady.
Do you get burnt?
A little bit.
You got to sunscreen those shoulders, dude. The shoulders and the knees. Those things, man.
I got a massage one morning, and I was out in the sun all day, and that oil, it
attracted
me.
It. Mm. Well, you look tan in the face.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, that was the goal. The tan was that was my number one priority.
You just want to get the face tan. The rest, you can cover up. The face, that's all that matters. But yeah, I couldn't bring my sunscreen into Coors Field. It's a pasty person's nightmare when you're going out and about. 19 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about the Broncos a little bit. Like, what are your expectations? When Peyton Manning came to Denver, I don't know what the expectations were. I don't know that you thought, okay, this is going to be a championship team. But you were excited because it's Peyton Manning. But four neck surgeries made you kind of go, all right, is he going to be that good? And we've heard stories of great quarterbacks going to other teams and it didn't work. So what makes this any different? So I want to talk about that. Also, the roster. We look at the Broncos roster. And, you know, was that roster in 2012 or whatever better than what this current roster is for the Broncos? Or should the expectations be a bit higher? Before we do that, though, we're giving tickets away like crazy. I gave away Stone Temple Pilots last time. I have Extreme Bull Riding tickets to give away. This is a voucher to redeem for two tickets. Extreme Bull Riding coming up on, 2 days, man. June 23rd, Thursday, start this thing off with a bang. I got to give these away. Thanks to Buildings by Design. I'm going to go caller number 3. You're going to get a pair of tickets to go see Extreme Bull Riding. Dude, if you haven't been to see something like this, or you have, then you know what you're getting into. I'm going to go caller number 3. It's a voucher for 2 tickets to go see Extreme Bull Riding. 970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. Extreme Bull Riding tickets going to caller number 3, 353-1310. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
The Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at wholeshow.com. Who's getting the start tomorrow? Who do you think it's going to be, Darcy Kemper or Pavel Francouz? Frankie going to get in there. I think it's going to be him. I do think that this decision is pretty big in terms of Jared Bednar's legacy, and I don't think it ends one way or the other. I don't think it makes him the greatest coach. I don't think it makes him the worst coach, but certainly when we look at this team and if it's a potential dynasty, I mean, again, the Avs could be. I do. I think they have the talent. Got to win one, though, to start it. You can't be a dynasty. You can't start winning multiple dynasties if you don't win that first one. I really do think that the Avs have that potential. And so when you look back and go, when did it all kind of start? Well, it all, you know, Joe Sakic preparing this team. We talked about that a lot last week. What he's done to build this roster, both in the draft and free agency and in trades. He's done everything right. But in game decisions and finally to get over that hump and get that Stanley Cup, I mean, you could build the best team in the world. If you're not doing it and getting over the hump and winning the Stanley Cup, then it doesn't matter. You will be a Buffalo Bills. You know, nobody will really remember you as anything more than so close. But you're not there. You went to 4 Super Bowls in a row and you have nothing to show for it. Doesn't matter. This is going to be a big, big decision for Jared Bednar, and I don't fault him for not having that decision last night and not burying Darcy Kemper. Silly. Shout out to Weldworks for bringing us our new beer releases each and every Friday. They just do it right, man. Dialed in food, dialed in beer. I mean, they flat out get it. They got the Annex now. It starts at 11 a.m., so a couple hours ago, you can stop by and grab great food and excellent beer. Juicy Bits, man. What's funny with me is I wasn't a big IPA guy a few years ago, and then suddenly that New England-style IPA, I love Juicy Bits. I have become a diehard fan of Juicy Bits. And the let me tell you about this, the double cheeseburger too from the Annex. Go look at a picture of it online. I've got it pulled up in front of me. You will want to get down there today to grab that. It looks awesome. 27 minutes after the hour, my mouth starts watering whenever I start talking about the double cheeseburger. 28 minutes after the hour, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Are the Broncos better? Let's take the quarterbacks aside, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson. And I will talk about that in a moment, too. Who's got the better roster right now, when you just kind of look at these guys side by side? Let's go down the roster. Who had the better running back committee? Now, keep in mind, no Sean Moreno was still on this roster with Peyton Manning that first year. It was Moreno. It was, I think, Willis McGahee was still there. Ronnie Hillman. Lance Ball was there. And this roster is Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, just those two. I'm going to say the Broncos this year have the running back spot because I think Melvin Gordon is very, very good. I think Melvin Gordon's better than anybody on that roster in 2012. Javonte Williams, based on the rookie season, better than anybody on that roster in 2012, at least where they were at that point in their career. How about at the wide receiver position? That year, you had Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker was still playing at a high level. Let's say tight end. Let's throw tight ends in there. Julius Thomas. Brandon Stokley was on that roster. Virgil Green, Andre Caldwell. So, I mean, Demaryius Thomas obviously raises the overall grade for these receivers. Who had the better wide receiver core, though? Again, throwing in the tight ends, too. You can't really, for the Broncos next year, we don't know much about their tight end situation. Albert O is still relatively new, and, you know, we'll see if he can take that next step going forward. Greg Dulcich, we think, is going to be good, but he's a rookie. Now you throw in the receivers, it's Cortland Sutton, and it's Tim Patrick. Jerry Jeudy hasn't arrived yet. KJ Hamler hasn't arrived yet because of injuries and other things. Who had the better wide receiver core / tight end? And you say Julius Thomas and Demaryius Thomas. Those two guys were monsters that year. I'm going to say that if you're adding the tight end factor here, because I think the Broncos' current tight end situation is still virtually unknown. It's hard to give them a good grade. Overall, the Broncos were better there in 2012 with their wide receiver core. Offensive line, it wasn't. I mean, Orlando Franklin and Clady was still on that team. Remember Zane Beatles, Ramirez, Chris Cooper, J.D. Walton. Probably more of a proven line, and they kept Manning up. So it's probably better than the current line right now, I would say, wouldn't you? You know, Garrett Bowles, Quinn Miners still has a prove-it type situation in front of him. Billy Turner. I think, 2012, they were better. Offensive line. So far, 2012's offensive line was better. Their wide receiver / tight end combos better. Not their running back. Defense, how about go over to the defense. Who was better that year? Well, Broncos defense was all right with Tebow, and then they were still all right. You know, you had Robert Ayers. Doomerville was still on that team. My guy Mitch Unrein, he played well that year. He was good those 2 years with them. Derek Wolfe was good. Malik Jackson. Jeremy Beal. I mean, you had some good players there. And then the linebacker side was Danny Trevathan. DJ Williams was still there. He didn't play a lot that year. You had Wesley Woodyard. Von Miller, of course. Joe Mays. Nate Irving. Not a bad linebacking core. Defensive backs. You were kind of starting your no-fly zone then. It was Mike Adams. Champ Bailey was on his last leg, but he still was there. Tony Carter at the time was okay. Chris Harris, he was there. Raheem Moore was there. Tracy Porter. They weren't to that level yet, though, if you'll remember. They weren't the no-fly zone yet. I think Denver, Justin Simmons, you want to look at their defensive backs, Justin Simmons with Kareem Jackson and Patrick Surtain, those three guys alone might move the needle over what you saw in 2012. Now, again, 2015, different story. But I think the secondary might go to this current group. The linebacking core, different defense too, but I'm probably going to go with 2012. Okay, so with all that being said, it sure sounds like 2012's team was much better. Now, who was the better quarterback? Manning. I mean, Manning coming off, well, he came off of the neck surgery, so didn't play that year before. Russell Wilson had a very weird season with Seattle. His numbers weren't awful, but Seattle was bad. Manning's going to go down in history as one of the greatest. I don't know that Russell Wilson's there yet. He's still young, though. He's still got a long career in front of him. But at the time, you know, who was better? It's a tough... Russell Wilson's going to have to do what Manning did that first year. And he's going to have to come in and break slash records. That's what Manning did. They were so good that year. They were so good for the first 3 years offensively. So what are the expectations? Denver was the AFC West champs. They went 13-3 in 2012. They were the best team in the AFC. They got the first round bye, and then they lost to Baltimore. We don't speak of that one, Jades. You know that. But that was still the better team. If John Fox knew how to handle a clock and maybe had some more, I don't know, man. I mean, just not going. It's plenty of time late in that game to go down and score and win the game with Peyton Manning. Again, whatever. It's over. They were damn good, though. They were the best team in the league until they weren't, until they were knocked out of the playoffs. So are the expectations that 13-3, best in the AFC? No way. And I don't know that people expected the Broncos to be 13-3. Remember, they started out kind of rocky. I think they were like a 500-type team for a bit. The expectations for the Broncos are 10-11 wins. I think they can win the AFC West, but I still think that those four teams are going to beat the hell out of each other. So I don't expect 13 wins coming out of the AFC West champ. I think it's going to be like 11 wins, wins the division. But they won't be the best in the AFC. They'll be good, but it won't be a first-round bye. They won't be the top dog in the AFC. But overall, 2012's team was better. Even before Manning came in, I mean, this is a team that dragged. Well, Tim Tebow had the years, I get it, but he was a terrible quarterback, and you were able to win eight games, enough to win the division and enough to go to the playoffs. And then you played out of your mind, Tim Tebow, against Pittsburgh, and you won a playoff game. I don't even know that I expect the Broncos to win a playoff game just yet. I think it's a young group that hasn't been there, and if they happen to catch a team like Buffalo, then they'll be in trouble. You know, there's some, if they like Cincinnati, Buffalo teams that are going to have experience, then I think you'll be in trouble. But I think that they're good enough to get in. Are they top tier in the AFC? Not right now. Not based on what we know right now. There's still, Russell Wilson or not, there's still a lot of unknowns. Like, are the Broncos going to be better than the Chiefs? And I just think that the way the schedule kind of rounds out for Denver, that maybe they win enough games to win the division. I don't, again, that doesn't always mean you're the best team. Just means maybe you caught fire, won a couple of games, maybe won one more game than Kansas City. Kansas City, they're going to be playing the adjustment game, I think, for the first few weeks. And I think that Denver has an opportunity to get ahead in this division early on. Kansas City, to start the season, you have Arizona, home against LA, at Indy, at Tampa Bay, home against Vegas, home against Buffalo, at San Francisco. That's all before the bye. And that's why I feel Denver will take advantage of that and put themselves in the driver's seat because they have an easier part of the first half. And I think that confidence booster for them will help carry them in the second half to get them to those 11 wins. Kansas City's going to be lucky to be a 500-type team, to be honest, by the bye week. Doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoffs. They'll make the playoffs. But if you just look at Arizona, LA, Chargers, Colts, Tampa, Raiders, Buffalo, San Fran, I could see three losses right there. There's three losses right there. Easy. Home against Buffalo could be a loss. At Tampa Bay could be a loss. Hell, at Indianapolis, that could be a loss. Home at San Francisco, there's three or four losses there, perhaps, for Kansas City right off the bat. So my whole point is I think that Denver's not going to be necessarily better than Kansas City by the end of the season. But I think the Chiefs, obviously adjusting to life without Tyreek Hill, plus a terrible first half of the schedule, that might be where Denver can get ahead by two or three games and maintain that throughout and win the division. That's just where I am with it. 37 minutes after the hour. Congratulations. We got to... I lost it. We gave away the Extreme Bowl riding tickets. I've got more to give away. I've got other tickets throughout the week. We're going to be doing this like crazy. I believe it was Slim Jim that got those. He's one of our Hall of Famers. I've got another pair that I'm giving away. It's a voucher for two, and I've got plenty of bull riding tickets coming up for this Thursday, June 23rd. This is a voucher for two tickets. I'm going to do another pair. Let's go caller number six and stay on the line for a little bit if you don't get through right off the bat, because sometimes, who knows, but just stay on the line. Extreme Bull Riding coming up. This is for two tickets. Caller number six, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. If you're caller number six, you're going to get a voucher for two tickets to go see Extreme Bull Riding this Thursday live from the Greeley Stampede, courtesy of Buildings by Design. Good luck, caller number 6. 38 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-four minutes after the hour. Good to be back, man. A couple of days off. I'll probably take a week off at some point before football season starts up. But it was just great to be with the fam for a while. But it's fantastic to be back here. Rock and rolling. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available to wholeshow.com. And Jade, Darcy Kemper is now leading the way. 54.55% of the votes. Who's getting the start tomorrow for the Avs? You guys believe collectively that Darcy Kemper is going to be the guy between the pipes over Frankie. I think it's going to be Frankie, but we'll see. Big decision coming up, no doubt. The NBA draft is on Thursday. What are the Nuggets going to do? You know, we're talking a lot about David Roddy. I just don't know how realistic it is. I've heard from my Nuggets guys that this draft is viewed, even with Calvin Booth taking over as the GM, this draft is viewed as kind of like we'll see if we can get somebody for down the road. This is going to be a project guy. And Dempsey told us that maybe perhaps Roddy's too good for that, which is a compliment to him, that maybe he's above a four-year project. He's more of a guy that a team could utilize now. And depends on who you ask. Some don't know. Some don't know that Roddy's going to be a big piece in the NBA. Denver might be packaging some draft picks. They have pick number 21. They picked number 30. And the rumor mill is spinning, churning, about Monte Morris and Will Barton being perhaps in the trade block or could go to the trade block. Now, another name that I'm not crazy about hearing is Bones Highland is in that mix. But what do you do if you're Denver? You're looking at a full slew. You got a slew of point guards. Monte Morris, Jamal Murray, Bones Highland could all play point guard. Does his minutes go away when Murray's back? And so here's where I go with it. Morris is there's a lot of trade stock there. Bones is still relatively unknown, but I think the Nuggets really like him. But you don't want him to take a step back. And he will take a step back because things are going to get full really fast for the Nuggets. Now, you just take a look at the depth chart. Assuming Jamal and MPJ are back, everything shifts backwards. So Jamal's a point guard. Monte Morris is your backup point guard. Will Barton, assuming they don't change that around, is your starting two. Now, I've talked about starting Bones and Jamal together, but if they don't do that, which I don't see anything in the works right now to make that happen, this is what your roster looks like right now. Will Barton would be the two. Bones Highland would be his direct backup, so to speak. But that's not always, you don't see a 10-man rotation very often. It's usually 8, maybe 9. Michael Porter Jr. would be 3. And you're going to see Jeff Green, who just took his extension, is going to stick with the Nuggets. Jeff Green's going to get time. You know he's going to get time. Aaron Gordon at the 4. And that's where you'll see maybe when he's out, do you work in a Zeke Nagy a little bit more? Does he get opportunity? Do you bring Cousins back? And then obviously the Joker, and that's Cousins at this point. So again, somebody's going to move back a little bit. Somebody's minutes are going to decrease. Or if you decided that you wanted to start Bones or Monte and move Jamal to 2, then I think the shift goes back to let's trade Will Barton and keep Monte Morris and Bones Highland so we have another backup guard. Trade Will Barton. You're desperate at the wing position, and I'm going to break into this tomorrow a little bit more. You're looking at the guys that could potentially be the three-point shooters that the Nuggets need outside of Porter, because you don't have anybody else that's really a given three-point shooter. Bryn Forbes, I don't know that he worked out. AJ Griffin in the draft from Duke. You got Jalen Williams from Santa Clara. EJ Liddell from Ohio State, Dalen Terry from Arizona, and then the Baylor kid, Kendall Brown. Those are all guys that are going to be potential for the Nuggets. Do they take somebody? Do they package this up with Amonte Morris and get a couple of key players going forward? This team's about the now. And that's why the draft, when you're at 21 and 30, certainly is not about the now. 48 minutes after the hour. I'm going to keep it rolling. I've given away two. I'm going to do another pair. We're going to do real quick here. Be hot on the trigger. First caller, you're going to get a voucher for two tickets for Extreme Bull Riding. This will be our third pair we're giving away today. So we're rocking and rolling. We're going to be doing it all week, dude. We got a ton, a basket of Stampede tickets. Thanks to Building by Design. First caller, you're getting a pair of Extreme Bull Riding tickets for this Thursday at the Greeley Stampede. 970-353-1310. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad we could be back rocking and rolling here, and we'll be doing the same thing tomorrow. I'm excited as we'll kind of do a little pre-draft talk, Avalanche preview for Game 4. I mean, there's going to be a lot that we can hit, and I'm excited about it, man. It's going to be a great time going forward. We're going to have Adam Finkelstein from CBS Sports on tomorrow as well to talk about the NBA draft, what the Nuggets might do, that you know, David Roddy situation, where he might go, all that. So we'll start breaking into that a little bit more. The NBA draft always kind of sneaks up on you. Not as much, not as easily as the MLB draft sneaks up on people in NHL draft, but it is here. We're going to see where David Roddy's going to go to extend his playing career. We're going to see what the Nuggets do. Are we working on a package deal with pick number 21 and pick 30? Maybe a player? Or do the Nuggets take that going forward? All right, 55 after the hour. We got Betting Across America coming up next. Portions of the Rich Eisen Show. And we'll have Rockies tonight, or today at 4 o'clock. Can the Rockies make it four in a row? We'll find out. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.